take a few minutes here to talk about this. This is an awesome topic. I want to say good morning, first of all, to everyone, and thank the good Lord for letting me be here with you.
Amen.
And an appeal for reconciliation. Very interesting topic. I was thinking back on the previous lesson that we had, and that was the week when we were out, talking about the God says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us.
Right.
And now what that is, like a clay pot, God has deposited the truth of the gospel in clay pots. We could even say crack pots, broken vessels. And it almost seems, that you're talking about paradoxes, that looks, seems like might be a paradox. Why come God didn't get all the great orators and the big speakers and all the high and the mighty in the world? He didn't. You know who he picked? Some crack pots like us. And he just pours it in, and he knows it's going to spill out and leak out. It's not going to stay in there, but he's going to pour it in again and again and again. He keeps pouring it in. So you and I have to keep filling up. That's why Paul told the churches to be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
You know, and you do that how? By coming together in fellowship, like what we're doing here today.
Amen.
And then when we think about why did he do that, what's up with all that? Why would God do that? And the answer is that he wants this message to get out to the whole world. So he didn't mind if it spills over and runs out. That's a good thing. In fact, his quality and his characteristics and his word and his compassion, his mercy, his grace, his favor, all of that should be spilling out of us all the time.
Amen.
On everybody that we come in contact with. And this is the thing here about this lesson is no matter how they respond to you, you have to respond to them in a way that honors God. Because at all times you represent God, regardless of what the world thinks or how they perceive you or how they put you down or belittle you. They may think very little of Landis Fisher.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure I'm like a speck on their white carpet somewhere in some of the areas I go into. They're like, oh, you're a little speck on the carpet. Or you are some kind of a something to be shooshed away. Get away, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know what? God has invested the gospel in you.
Yes,
no matter how insignificant someone else might think you are.
Yeah.
On the other hand, people are offended by the gospel a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Especially if they call themselves practicing some other religion or something of that sort, because the gospel is a rebuke to people who think that they can make themselves right with God by their own works.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always the environment. Now, this time in particular, as the gospel is being spread by Paul, he is spreading it to Gentiles, people who have not had Judaism as the background of their faith.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who have practiced what we would call, for all practical purposes, paganism.
Yeah.
And what that was their effort to try to pursue God on their own means, by their own way, without actually having information from God. And that's going to be a factor that we look at also in the message this morning, later on. It's just amazing to me how these things are matching up. But the fact is, you and I have the treasure, the good news of the gospel. And think about that. What is that good news of the gospel? It's that God came into the world himself to reconcile all things to himself in one person. That's in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
See, God was in the world. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5. If we look at verse chapter, well, let's look at 17 to get a running start. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. See, that's that filling of God's Spirit in those who trust in Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead who are saved.
Right.
And now they continually, first of all, they're indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. And then when we come to church and fellowship, which is extremely important, this is when we are filled again and again with the Holy Spirit by the Word of God. Faith is coming to you every time you hear the Word of God. God is delivering, as we mentioned in our message previously here in Romans, we're delivering faith by preaching. When the Word is preached, faith is being delivered to everyone who receives it. Now, whether they react to it or not is another story. The saved always react to it. Their faith is built up. And they're strengthened by hearing the word. You are emboldened in Christ every time you hear the word and you hear the message of the truth or any deeper understanding. When the word takes you to a deeper level of who God is and what he's doing in your life, it strengthens you.
Yeah.
So that's what we call edification. You're being built up
yeah.
in the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. So Paul was a person, of course, as we know, who was adamant against the gospel. He hated it. So he understands right well, now that he's taken the good news and he's on the right team, he's going out into the world, and he understands that reconciliation, that's the one word that kind of puts in a nutshell what God was trying to do. And it's not what he was trying to do. Let's say this puts in a nutshell what God did. See, we ain't talking about what he was trying to do. He came all the way out of eternity, took a body of flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, John said. And the glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's exactly what he said he was going to do, isn't it? In the Old Testament, we look in the Law and the Prophets, that's what God promised he would do. He did it, and they didn't get it. They didn't believe it. You see? But what? Why did he do it? He did it to reconcile in one man everything to himself. So because it was in one man that it all got out of whack and messed up like it is. And but he allows that to go on. Now what that does, when we see people who still don't believe, God could have just zapped everybody perhaps and made them all believe, but he didn't want to do that. You know, he had no intention of doing that. When he gave Adam free will, he never took it back.
Amen.
I give it to you, it's yours. You got free will, you can do what you want. He didn't take it back. See, so those who get saved get reconciled to God by receiving his son, which is his manner of reconciliation for the whole world. And he accepts you and adopts you. You are redeemed. That's what redemption is. He buys you out of the transgression of Adam into his own family to be his own. Okay, and then he commits unto us, as it goes on to say here. He says here that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's how we got new. Old things passed away. All things are become new. And he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. See that?
Amen.
And hath given unto us. Now, when he reconciled us, guess what he did? He put the treasure in earthen vessels.
Yep.
He gave it to us, the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, you and I get the pleasure of going out to administer the good news of God's reconciliation, not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles.
Right.
Amen. We get to tell it to everybody. The message is for whosoever will, let him come. Now, let's talk about this, because there's some interesting dynamics here. I heard Brother Larry talking about it. I heard Brother Martin talking about it in their exposition when they were talking about it. But keep this in mind now. You and I, even though we're saved, that we have an anonymity. I'm going to use that word. It's kind of a big word. In other words, you remember that anonymous group that we don't know who you are? In other words, we write some, a lot of stuff anonymous did. That's where somebody don't want to put their name on it.
Right.
So you don't know who it is. You see? And well, not necessarily. Sometimes people want to write a poem and they just want that idea out there in the world and they sign it anonymous. I don't want to take credit for it, but this is something. But it can be good or it can be bad. Sometimes people want to slander somebody and they get behind anonymous, and that's the hiding place where they go to hide. I don't want to put my name on it.
Right.
But let's say we have an anonymity in the fact that people don't know if you're saved, if they're lost. Lost people don't know that you're saved. They don't have the spiritual perception to know that they're lost. When we were lost, we didn't know we were lost. You ever thought about that? And when folks walking around talking about Jesus and salvation and hallelujah, what's up with that? You know, it's strange to you because you don't have any knowledge of it. You don't know what that means. They might as well be speaking Chinese or some language you don't know, because they really don't know what that means. So in that sense, we have an anonymity about ourselves. Something has happened to you. They don't understand it because they can't. They don't have any ability to understand what happened to you. They're dead in their trespasses and sin, just like you were. So you ought to expect them not to understand what you're talking about. That means you need to break it down, put it on their level. God has fixed it so that when we give them one basic message, which we call the gospel, you know, this is what's neglected in the church right now. This is what I saw neglected in Ferguson. This was neglected all these places where you see all this confusion, is no one tells people the basic gospel. So they think, I'm in this by myself and I got to make this thing work. If I don't do this, that, and the other, it ain't going to work. And I got to go get my pound of flesh, or I got to steal it, or whatever it is. People have all kinds of different ways how they think they can make something work.
Amen.
We're going to force a situation because this is what I want. And they don't know that God, who sits on the throne, mm-hmm. has never been fooled.
Never.
Nobody has ever lied to him successfully. Plenty of people have lied to him, but not successfully, because he knows what you're thinking.
Yes, he does.
He understands your motives. He knows where you're coming from.
Amen.
He knows where you're going.
Amen.
He knows everything about you.
Yeah.
You have never tricked him. He's never been tricked. He's never been fooled. He has never missed anything.
Yeah.
I think about that one song somebody wrote, somebody, I don't want to close my eyes because I don't want to miss a thing. Well, God never, neither sleepeth nor slumber, the Bible says. He don't miss nothing.
Right.
You know, that's why you can go to bed at night. You ain't got to stay up and worry about what's going to happen with such
right.
and such. Go to bed.
Right.
God got that. I got it.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
You can get you some rest because I'm up all night looking over you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like that song we haven't sang for a while. Oh, the angels keep watching.
Yeah.
You know, he got folk watching over you
yes,
to protect you and to keep you. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, but folks who are lost don't know that. That's privileged information. God wants them to know it, but they don't know it. So we can't act like we think they know it. And sometimes I think we do. I think that's an error on our part. We go around acting like everybody knows about Jesus. No, they don't. They might know about him, but do they have a relationship with him? Have they committed themselves to him? Do they understand that he is the only way, the truth, and the life? That no one can come to the Father but by him?
Yes.
Most of the time, no. If you see somebody tripping, bumming, or doing something crazy, they don't. And then even if you find a person in the church, I was noticing what Brother Larry said, there can be people in the church who haven't fully committed themselves to God. God is trying to bring us all closer to him. We got some areas we don't even know about in our own lives. We got some territory where he wants to put away some fears and some doubts, and he wants to bring you to a tight, closer level in him
yes.
so that you know the depth of his love.
Yes.
And so he keeps trying to bring you in closer. And at one point, Larry said he was at a point where he thought he could solve something with a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And God spoke to him and said, no, we don't do it that way.
Right.
See? And so he changed.
Yes.
And so you can have issues in your life. You can be dealing with frustrations, anxieties, habits, all kinds of stuff. God knows where you are.
Yes, he does.
And he loves you anyway.
Yes.
So the reconciliation of Christ paid for that perfect, intimate relationship that we need with God.
That's right. Amen.
You know? And so keep that in mind. And no matter what you're involved in, God knows what it is. He has a solution.
Yes.
He can fix it if it's broke, if it's bruised, if it's damaged.
Yes.
If you're hurting somewhere, he knows about it.
Amen.
He can relieve your pain. You know, but we got to get closer to him. Reconciliation was in the cross. Look at what God did to give you a display of how far will I go to fix your situation.
Yeah.
This is how far I'll go. Because I had to go all the way this far because I'm a holy God.
That's right.
I have wrath against all forms of sin. Always did. Ever since Adam sinned, I have wrath and judgment stored up for it. I don't want to give it to you. I didn't want to give it to you to start with. I gave you a perfect environment, and there was no reason for you to suffer what sin does. And sin does some awful things. Nobody wants to talk about sin. There's no sin problem in Ferguson. It's just we can't get along because the black and the white issue.
Yeah,
we act like black and white is the only conflict there's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
There was Jew, now there's also Jew and Gentile. That went on for a long time.
Right.
Now we got ISIS and so and all these different Hamas, and
yep.
we can start naming folks, and we all hate you for some reason, but it's not, we don't want to call it sin.
Right.
Oh, it's y'all got the wrong God. That's what they're telling them.
Yep.
We believe Allah is God.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that there's some other God. And they got all these issues with God. But the problem is all of y'all everywhere are sinners.
Amen.
Your heart is cursed with sin.
Amen.
God has one fix for it. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
He came into the world right on schedule. He's the most famous person in the universe.
Yeah.
He's the most famous one on your calendar.
Right.
Ain't nobody else in your calendar but Jesus. Whoever you are.
Right.
He's the only one in your history book if you're writing the truth right.
Yeah.
Yes. But you neglect him. And we won't put him back in your face like we ought to.
That's right.
In order to get you straight. Because you can only get straight with the one simple message that God has given.
Yeah.
And that's the simple message we call the gospel.
Yeah.
See? And it's the most loving thing you can do is share the gospel. Now, you may share it in love. Somebody may spit on you.
Mm-hmm.
Had it happen in the jail.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to somebody else. And another guy went down to tears walking in the jail. They have like tears where people are locked away behind the tears, and you walk on a platform in front of all the cells. And a guy in one cell got mad when he was hearing people sharing the gospel. And he went to the toilet and dipped off some water and threw it out there on the volunteers and said, give that to your God. That's how angry this man was. But you know what we knew? We weren't upset because we know you heard what we said. You got the message. It's in your mind. It made you mad. You had a reaction. It was not the reaction we hoped for. We hoped that you would say, I trust Christ and I need him. Some people did who heard it. Somebody said, hey, get that to your God and threw some filthy toilet water out. So it's going to have different reactions. But our purpose is reconciliation. We don't get mad. What do you do when that happens? You just say, turn him over to God. Jesus says, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony and move along. But he heard what I said. Now you heard it, and I know you heard it. I'm praying for you now. I hope eventually that you repented and got right with God. I know you heard it because I saw your reaction. It was not the reaction I hoped for and I prayed for. Somebody else heard it and they said, oh man, that's awful. And they're praying for him. All those people who love God started to pray. So you're going to get different reactions. People are not all going to automatically be reconciled to God.
That's right.
Just because you share the truth doesn't mean you're going to get the response that God hopes for. How many times did you hear it before you got right?
Wow.
That's what I have to think about. I heard it a lot of times and I was doing my thing.
Yes.
And I'm going to do this thing long as I can until God confronted me, let my mess get me in trouble. When I was in trouble, I said, oh, I need the Lord. Because I remember my grandparents told me, when you get in trouble, call on the Lord. And I called, and as we say, I called on him, and he heard my cry.
Yes.
And he pitied my little evil groan. I should have got whatever was coming to me, but he stopped it.
Yes.
And he gave me the knowledge and understanding of his son, that he loves me. I've been trying to get you for a while. I've been waiting to hear that from you.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as I heard it, he came through and started to break the chains off my life. So that's the kind of God we serve. And this message of reconciliation, we need to be reconciled among ourselves.
That's right.
We have a lot of little petty stuff we deal with in the church.
Yeah.
Among ourselves.
Yes.
You know what? But God's working on us all.
Yes, yeah. He is.
I didn't pick it. Just like your family, your brothers and sisters, you didn't get to pick who they are.
That's right.
God sent you who they are.
That's right.
Your cousins and all your relatives, he hooked all that stuff up to make your cousin your cousin.
Yes.
And your brother your brother. See, you had no control of it. Same thing is true in the church family. You know, we are here because God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
He's called us out of different backgrounds of life. He's given us the most important message in the world. Don't ever think that what you're doing is unimportant for one second. The devil would like to belittle what you think about who you are and what you're doing.
Yep.
But you have been given a major assignment from the Most High God.
Right.
Think about this, what we said on Wednesday. We were talking about governments and the structures of government and how the church is commanded to be obedient to the governments.
That's right.
Because God put the government in charge.
Ordained.
They're ordained by God. And he who defies the government defies God.
That's right.
Yeah. See that? Now we talked about that. How many people do you hear talking about that in Ferguson or anywhere else where there's trouble? See, they're talking about go get your pound of flesh. You know, now the pound of flesh is stirring the pot of trouble and it comes out of the heart of sin, not out of the heart of reconciliation.
Yeah.
See, because justice will be served. Even if the trial doesn't go the way people want it to, justice will be served.
Yes, it will.
Because you cannot fool God at all, ever. I don't care what you did. And a man makes the wrong judgment. Think about this. The cross was man's judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Crucify him, the Jews said.
Mm-hmm.
God let it go through.
Yes, he did.
Why? Because he already knew how evil they were.
Mm-hmm.
Did he get his will done anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, did God get his will done when the jury said, crucify him?
Yeah.
Was that right? No. In the legal sense, no. Why? Because had he done any wrong?
No.
Had he broken any laws?
No.
He was the most innocent person there has ever been in the history of time or ever will be, and he was found guilty and crucified.
Mm-hmm.
Capital punishment.
Yes.
Under an evil government.
That's right.
Somebody would say, oh God, but what happened there? Well, what happened there was I was bringing my will to pass.
That's right.
Because I had to have someone to pay your bill.
That's right.
And I knew that your evil would work it all out. And I fixed it so that evil would persevere over itself.
My Lord.
And my son was willing to take it. I forsook him while he hung there, bled and died, so I could let you go free.
Right.
So I don't have to judge you and put my wrath on you, that you deserve.
Thank you.
And the evil government did my will.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. See, an evil government did his will.
Mm-hmm.
executed everything that he wanted done so he could let me and you go free even though we don't deserve it.
That's right.
And all we do is put our trust and faith in him. How do we know God persevered? They laid him in the grave, wrapped him up in a tomb, and in a sarcophagus of 100 pounds of aloes and spices, laid him in the grave, put their seal, the government seal. We compound our seal. Don't touch this.
That's right.
The government say, leave it alone. And what did he do? He got up.
Yes, he did.
And showed you that even death is swallowed up in victory. And the most heinous, unjust thing that you could ever imagine, God's son being crucified, was God's will. And he allowed him to get up out the grave to show you that I have fixed everything, including death. And there is no judgment for those who trust in him. See what I'm saying? So reconciliation, the message you and I have, is a very powerful thing. Even though it's so subtle, we carry it around in earthen vessels. We're just frail little bodies going around. Paul even goes on to say that even though the outer man is perishing, he was getting older and older, moving slower and slower, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day.
Amen.
See, for momentary light affliction, that's what he called all the troubles of the world.
Yes.
It's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison.
Yes.
While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal. All of this is passing away in the fashion thereof, but the things that are eternal, or he says that are not seen, are eternal. They cannot pass away. So that's where we are now. So the message we have to be mindful of where we are and who we're dealing with. God loves us. He gave his son for us. He reconciles us to himself by our faith in him. He gave us faith to believe in him. And then he commissioned us to share it with the rest. And that's where we are. And so we ought to be able to, much, much less should we be able to handle situations between ourselves.
All right.
Situations with our children, folks on our job, and they may or may not know who you are. That anonymity that you have is there. They may not understand. In fact, they cannot. They don't have any facility to understand that. But the simple message of the gospel is where we must begin. You have to begin with that, because nobody can be saved without the gospel. They need to understand what God did for them. That's the first thing I want to talk to you about. That's why I talk to people all the time in jail. And I've told you this before. You may say, oh, he's repeating himself. And they, people ask me, well, do you know what they did? And you ever asked them what they did? Nope, sure don't. But I know what they need.
Right.
Reconciliation is you need to hear about Christ.
Right.
You need to know he loves you. You need to trust him because he died for you to pay your bill. And he can release you from that guilt you're carrying. And he can wash away the stains of all that, whatever you did. I don't know what you did, but it couldn't have been much worse than what I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may be, and if it was, it doesn't make a difference. Look at Paul.
Yes.
Murderer.
Yes.
Liar, cheater, schemer.
Yes.
You know, look at Moses, murderer.
Yep.
Liar, cheater, schemer. You can go on through the whole list, because there's none righteous, there's not even one. See, and how did they get saved? How did people like that, who didn't do everything right, get saved? One way.
Yes.
By God's grace.
His grace.
Look at Abraham. We could go on and on. People who did not do everything right. They did. When they started to have a relationship with God, they got better and better.
That's right.
They grew closer and closer. They had more and more faith. You know, and that's where we are. And that's what the world needs. They don't need the NAACP or any of these folks coming to stir in their sin. We don't need hate mongers to tell you, get what you deserve. And what you going to get what you deserve.
That's right.
You know, you better watch it. You don't really want what you deserve.
Amen.
If you think that through, if God gave us what we deserve, I sure don't want that.
Right.
If I'm thinking right, think about that. What do I deserve? And if God gave me what I deserve, hey, I wouldn't even be here.
Amen.
He would take me out of here and slam me into the deepest, hottest part of hell. See? And so I don't want what I deserve. I don't know about you. I like what he's offering. He's offering faith and his son, and I cover you for everything.
Right.
And I don't see any of that. Cover you in my righteousness. That's what he gives us. So salvation is never going to be attained by anybody who they don't understand you. That's the thing I wanted you to know. But know that. And when you go in with grace.
Yes.
And go in with mercy.
Gotcha.
Don't expect them to understand everything, but tell them that simple message. God loves you and he wants to reconcile you to himself by his son. He paid the cost. You don't have to worry about, do I have what it takes? No, you don't. Tell him, no, you don't. You don't have it. But God has it.
Yes.
And he wants you to have it. He wants to give it to you. And if you trust him, he will. Amen. Seeing that that's the crux of it. Paul, and I look at Paul, the example, and then we'll close with this. He says, receive us, we have wronged no man. Now, this is how we know. People wronged him. He came in, they misunderstood. He told a slave girl about Christ. She stopped her sin. They got mad, threw him in jail. So did they understand him?
Nope.
No. You stopped my money flow, dude. You got to go to jail. That's it. I'm done with you.
Amen.
You cut off my... I was pimping this girl, and you stopped it.
Yep.
She was doing soothsaying and all that. Yep. You told her about Christ. She got saved. She stopped. Now I'm mad at you. That's how people are going to react. They're not going to take your reconciliation and say, oh, wow, how wonderful. No, they're going to say, you cut off what I was trying to do. Alexander the coppersmith. He was a coppersmith making idols for people to worship. You came in, told him, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Those things are not God at all. Cut his business off. He became a strong opponent against the gospel. I'm mad at you now, man. You shut my business down.
Yep.
Because I can't sell nobody no silver and gold idols no more.
Yep.
Because they don't want them. They got the real God. He was mad.
Amen.
And he opposed Paul. So many people you see in Paul took whatever they dished out. The Jews were upset. You defy Moses and the law. Get him, stone him. They stoned him and left him in a pile of stones for dead.
Yes.
And God raised him up, sent him on to the next place. So there was suffering involved, as you looked at last week.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, reconciliation is more important.
Yes, it is.
And no matter how much we suffer, what we go through for the truth, keep on going. God loves you, and he's blessing you to take you up a notch higher. Amen. Having said that, he says, we have received us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man. What we're bringing in is the truth that cleanses and makes people right, reconciles people.
Yes.
We have defrauded no man. In other words, we didn't do anything ill or evil against you.
Yes.
All we did was come with the truth of God's reconciliation.
Yes.
And so it's very important that we administer that not only outside the church, but also inside the church.
Yes.
We have to administer it with one another, because none of us, even though we're saved, we haven't arrived.
Right.
Got some more growing to do.
Right.
When we learn to love everybody to the point that you don't bother me, whatever it is you're doing, mm-hmm. because I love you,
mm-hmm.
then that's when we know we're moving up a little bit.
Yes.
That's why Romans 13 later on, which we didn't talk about, says to owe no man anything but to love one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only unfulfilled debt that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We don't love like we ought to.
That's right.
If we learned how to, nobody would bother me. And none of you all bother me, I'm going to tell you now. Y'all might say, oh, I call you pastor about this, that, or the other, and I got issues and troubles, but I'm not bothered by that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know God loves you, and I love you too.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why he told me to come to you and help you straighten it out, sort it out, teach you to love like his son loves and like he loves. His son is his love in the flesh.
Amen.
See, Jesus is the love of God.
Yes.
See, we say God is love. How about Jesus?
Yes.
You know, Jesus is the fleshing out of the love of God.
Yes, he is.
See, and in fact, I got a CD I had given a couple of you. I didn't make plenty of them, but it has a song on there I love called God is Love, written by Philip Bailey. And that's one of that used to be the lead singer of Earth, Wind, and Fire. And he's got a few gospel songs, really good. That one is a good one. And it's true. Jesus Christ is God's love fleshed out. And so you and I preach the gospel. That's that good news that God loves you. He so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten son. See? And the son had a free will, just like we said he never took Adam's free will. He didn't take Jesus's either. So think about that. Everything that happened to Christ, he willfully submitted himself to it.
Yes, he did.
When he went in the garden and began to pray, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then what did he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He submitted and surrendered his will to the will of the Father in order to pay what we owe.
Yes.
Because he didn't owe anything. He owed nothing.
No.
No. The only thing he owed was the positive side of what people owe God. Everyone owes God respect.
Yes.
Everyone owes him love.
Yes.
Everyone owes him thanks.
Praise.
You know, he was not sharp with any of that either. We ought to pray and communicate with God. Jesus did all that. He would get away. I got to stop the reconciliation and go and give honor to my Father. And he went separately and got away because God deserves your honor. He deserves your prayer. He deserves your fellowship. See? And it's only right if you give it to him. because Amen. He deserves it.
Amen.
Now he's worthy of more than we can give. But Jesus shows us in a human way that he is able, and he was willing to go and do all those positive things a man ought to do.
Yes.
You know, but he also came down and said, okay, I also give myself to the people who you love.
Yes.
Because God never ceased to love the people in spite of the fact that, you know, that they all turned against him and went their own way. He continued to love them through it all. And so he sent Jesus into the midst of that. The biggest and best example, as I shut my lips, is Christ. Think about how he did, how he interacted with the Jews. They said, we're in religious authority, and where did you get your authority from?
Mm-hmm.
And they looked down their nose at him. We got our flowing robes and our phylacteries and all of our gear on, and you standing there in a robe with some sandals on. They put him at the end of the table when they invited him to dinner. And they all went and sat up in the good spots at the table, at the feast.
Mm-hmm.
And he preached from the end of the table. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But he was God, and he was okay sitting at the end of the table.
That's right. Amen.
He took the lowest place in the room, and he taught from there.
Yes.
See, so you and I have to be willing to humble ourselves if we're going to be able to reconcile anybody. Understand where they are. They don't know. If you assume they know, that's going to be bad for you.
Yes.
Because they really don't know. But you know, so therefore you condescend. Come down, humble yourself, and find a way to love them in spite of their ignorance of the truth. You know, and when you do that, then you're being Christ-like.
All right. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. Okay. We have the secretary come at this time. Amen.